captain for a few years. I have been keeping track of world news and those kinds of things, and then when the virus hits, it's all the news is all about the virus. What's the governor's going to do here, and what's the doctor say to do there, and does anybody really know? I want to suggest, first of all, before I start, that you know that the Bible talks about viruses and pestilences, and it says in Leviticus to set those aside who have been plagued by this, to quarantine them, not quarantine all the people. And yet, the leaders of the world, think about this, man. The leaders of the world shut this world down. I mean, didn't they? Did you decide that, well, before anybody says anything, I'm going to go quarantine myself? And I'm not saying that we shouldn't quarantine ourselves to some extent. But that's not what the Bible said to do. So who knows what and who's in charge? The last few years, the churches of the world are coming, and I talk about the churches, Christ Church has become more and more under persecution. In China, this is a mega church that was torn down in 2019. This, just the last couple years ago, a couple months ago, there was an announcement that they would start going harder after the home churches. Russia now is not so worried about the Jehovah's Witness. They're after the Baptists, and they're after the conservative evangelicals. So, who has the power? Then, yesterday, Chicago said that the church is a public nuisance. And this one particular church said, we're going to stay open. And they said, if you do, we could destroy your building. Well, that sounds like China, doesn't it? It sounds like China. I didn't pick this topic. This topic came to us as we go through the book of Acts. Who has the power and authority? You sang it this morning. Did you know that you sang it? Ephesians 6:12, for our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers and against the authorities and against the powers of this world's darkness and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realm. We do have to make the case and see that God has already made the case, actually, that there are rulers and principalities in heavens, in the heavenly places. There are rulers other than God because somebody gave them authority. That would be Adam, because he was given authority and it was turned over to the devil, who said, and if you don't believe me, just read chapter 4 of Luke, where Jesus is tempted by the devil, and the devil says, I'll give you all the kingdoms of the world if you just bow to me. Wow. Who gave him that? I mean, how did he get that much power? Because it was given to him. It should have been Adam's, and it should be ours under God, because he has a system of order. Acts 26:18 says that you and I have been freed from the power of the devil. So we are not under that power, but sometimes we kind of submit to it, you know. We kind of think we are. But this suggests that Satan does have power. The point is that you and I are not underneath that power. Remember, others have the power to kill. And Luke 12, Jesus said, remember that they may have the power to kill, but don't fear them. Fear the one who, after they kill, casts the person into hell. Has the power to cast the person into hell. That would be God. He has the ultimate power. And that brings us to our text. The high priest rose up, and all who were with him. That is the party of the Sadducees. They're Sadducee because they don't believe in the resurrection power of God. And they're filled with jealousy. They arrested the apostles and put them in the public prison. So you have these people, this group, and we've been following them for a couple of weeks now. And in fact, if you went with us through John, we've been following them for some time because, see, they had the power to crucify Christ. They were given the power. Remember, Jesus said, "You would have no power over me," he said to Pilate, "if it weren't from above." And so, whatever you're facing now in this world, whatever we see, we see these things come across the TV set, and we're fearful because of what is coming upon us. We sense that there's no power. We have no way out. We have no power, no say. We're in trouble. It looks that way, don't it? It looks like we're in trouble. In Daniel chapter 6, it pleased Darius to set over the kingdom 120 satraps to be throughout the whole kingdom, and over them three high officials, whom Daniel was one, to whom these satraps should give account. There's power, right? So that the king might suffer no loss, because he has the power. Then this Daniel became distinguished above all the other high officials and satraps because of an excellent spirit was in him. And the king planned to set him over the kingdom, the whole kingdom. Then the high officials and the satraps sought to find a ground for complaint against Daniel with regard to the kingdom. And so this kindly king likes Daniel. And then you have this, can I call it a deep state? Kind of the deep state, the officials behind the scenes saying, "Let's find something on Daniel." And they'll come up and they'll find something on Daniel, and you remember the rest. He gets thrown into the kitty's den, the lion's den. Wait a minute. This is the almighty Daniel. This is the powerful, faithful Daniel, with which I cannot find one thing wrong with him. He's a righteous man. Now, he's a sinner. And actually, he prays for his father's sins and his own sins when the 70 years of the exile is over. So we know he was a sinner. But God gave him great authority and great power. And even the king did. And yet, somebody found a way to overpower him. How about Esther? Esther 3, after these things, King Azarias promoted Haman, the Agagite, the son of Hammedatha, and advanced him and set his throne above all the officials who were with him. And all the king's servants who were at the king's gates bowed down and paid homage to Haman, for the king had so commanded concerning him. But Mordecai did not bow down or pay homage. The servants of the king at the king's gate asked Mordecai why he would not bow down and demanded that he do so. They finally told Haman, who had been promoted above all other officials. Then Haman said to King Azarias, "There is a certain people." Oh, it's not just Mordecai. There's a certain people. They're a strange people. They don't do what the king says. They're scattered abroad and dispersed among the peoples in all the provinces of your kingdom. Their laws are different from those of every other people, and they do not keep the king's laws. So, let's kill them. You remember? It's interesting that God's name is not even mentioned in the book of Esther. But the providence and the sovereignty, there's the really deep state. God, the high state and deep state, the higher court, has all authority and all power. every single lick of power is under him. And so why do we fear? Why are we afraid at times? And sometimes too long of a time. Verse 19, but during the night, an angel of the Lord opened the prison doors and brought them out and said, go and stand in the temple and speak to the people all the words of this life. And when they heard this, they entered the temple at daybreak and began to teach. Hey, disciples, don't you know that the last time you went into the temple, you guys got arrested. And you got thrown into a public prison. A public prison, a very common prison. It wasn't very well kept. And they're there going, now what? But see, the power on high sent an angel. Now, I can bet you, and I'm not going to put the Lord to the test, okay? I would almost guarantee that if I break the law, and it may even be for the name of the Lord and the Bible, these powers that be are going to, well, the churches in Chicago, they're going to take them to court. They're suggesting putting people in prison and burning down churches. And folks, it's already happening over in other nations. And we hope it doesn't happen here in our lifetime, but we don't know. Because sometimes the Lord says, you are going to be my witnesses. We can talk about suffering. We can talk about being tempted and being afraid. And you know what? It comes down to this idea. There are the gates of hell, and then there are the gates of heaven. The gates, the word gates, means might or power in the Bible. And yes, there are gates of hell. But as soon as I say gates of hell, your mind, who's been reading the Bible and listening to the Bible for decades and decades and years and years, and some of you young people, I hope that the first thing that comes to your mind is this sentence that Jesus Christ said, the gates of hell will not prevail against it. What's it? The church. The church. Now, sure, boy, sure, with Daniel thrown in the lion's den, and Esther about ready to have her head taken off with Mordecai's, and now the Chicago churches, and now the California churches, and boy, it sure doesn't look like that, does it? It doesn't look like we've been given all that authority like the song we sang this morning, does it? Who's the defendant? Who's defending? Oh, the gates of hell. Listen to what Jesus said. The gates of hell will not prevail. He didn't say the armies of hell. He didn't say Satan himself, who is the supposed power. The gates are to keep people out. The gates are to defend the city. And the gates of hell are trying to defend hell. And God's not going to have anything to do with that except destroy them. There is no power that can overcome you, lest God wants it to. Acts 5:27. And when they had brought them, they set them before the council, and the high priest questioned them, saying, we strictly charged you not to teach in his name. Yet here you have filled Jerusalem with your teaching, and you intend to bring this man's blood upon us. But Peter and the apostles answered, We must obey God rather than men. The God of our fathers raised Jesus, whom you killed by hanging him on a tree. God exalted him at the right hand as leader and savior to give repentance to Israel and forgiveness of sins. And here it is, folks. We are witnesses to these things. And so is the Holy Spirit, whom God has given to those who obey him. You have the gates of heaven. You have the gates of hell. You have the powers of heaven and the powers of hell. And who's the defendant? Who's the higher court? Well, it's the one who can send an angel and open the prison door without the guards even knowing. We looked and the doors were locked and everything, and it says specifically the angel opened the door and let him out. Well, how did that happen? Do you realize that your faith is not so much in what God may do, right? So God is, you know, you and I are here together, and the governor, Christy Noem, decides to change her mind. She's a great governor. Let's say she decides to change her mind, and everybody who, if there's 10 and over in a group, then you're all arrested, and you're all going to jail. And we preach, I think, a pretty good gospel here, and the Sunday school lessons are fantastic, and all across the board. So we can expect God to be on our side, right? So we go to prison or jail, whatever we got coming. We go to jail, do we expect the angel to come and open our door? Well, that would be pretty neat, right? But I can't remember the last time that happened to anybody. I don't remember hearing any stories like that. And even in China or Iran, there's great miracles happening. I didn't hear that one. I haven't heard that one. I didn't say, Lord, can you send Michael to open my door? He's probably going to say, no, I'm not going to do that, actually. But you are my witness nonetheless. Did you know that you are a witness in a defendant's case, but not for the defendant, for the prosecution? Did you know that you are witnessing the faithfulness and power of God every single day? You are a witness. And you are like a pillar. You are like when they crossed the Jordan and they built that pillar. And every time they saw that pillar, they said, well, remember what God did here? Remember he parted the Jordan? Remember that? And we marched across and we conquered the enemies. Do you remember that? And we conquered the giants. Not all of them, because we were weak. We didn't get them all. But I'm a witness to God's faithfulness and his power. His power. All of the resurrection power. All the power that created heaven and earth is with you and in you by the power of the Holy Spirit. Remember, the same Holy Spirit that hovered over that dark place in Genesis chapter 1. Remember the Holy Spirit was there hovering over that dark place? He is in you. I don't know. That doesn't feel like it. Trust me, folks. I get that. I had to preach this to myself again this morning. I had to preach it to myself again yesterday. I'm in contact with a godly man in town. We talk every once in a while. I haven't talked to him for a while. I said, Sonia, I should call this guy. So I called this guy. It was about business. He didn't want to make it about business. He wanted to make it about God. For whatever reason, he had to say, do you know that God loves you? In fact, before he said that, he said, you know, I know you know this. But he has to tell me that God loves me. And he said it at the right time. God loves you. And all the powers of heaven are in you. And when you die, all the power that Jesus Christ has, when he took himself up, he will take you up. What are we to fear? Nothing. Nothing. We strictly charged you not to teach in this name like they're chastising little kids. And Peter says, we must obey God. Because, by the way, he raised Jesus Christ from the dead. And you hung him on a tree. Now, Let's all go out and stand on a street corner and anybody who comes by and charges us that you guys are too close, let's tell them, you hung Jesus on a tree. There may be a time for you to do that. But that's the point. The point is that the church was sent for this reason. Matthew 28. And Jesus came and said to them, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe, that word is obey, observe all that I have commanded you. And I am, behold, I am with you to the end of the age. Lord, you're only with me until I go to prison, right? You're only with me until Kristi Noem is out of office. Or President Trump, heaven forbid, doesn't get elected. Right? No. We have no idea what faces us. Those people who were, there were 5,000 members in the megachurch in China, they didn't see that cross coming down until the dynamite exploded. And we didn't see this COVID virus coming. I'm going to call it the Wuhan Chinese virus, because that's where it came from. We didn't see this coming. We didn't see it coming. We don't know what's going to come. They didn't see jail coming. They didn't see the angel coming either to open the door. Lord has given us all the power on our side. Now, I truly try to suggest to those that say, well, I can cast out demons and I can cast out Satan. And, no, remember what Michael said, the Lord rebuke you, those kinds of things. So we're not going that route. We're not going prosperity doctrine. What we are going is we are not going to be afraid. We are going to be unafraid because we've seen what the Lord did from his high court for his disciples and for Esther, and for Mordecai, and for Daniel, and for Abraham against those mighty kings. He had, what, 623? And he was against five, or those four kings? Genesis 14? We were witnesses. Watch this. You will receive power. Who was he talking to? He was talking to the disciples. But watch, here's the caveat. When the Holy Spirit has come upon you, folks, do you have the Holy Spirit? Has he come upon you and in you? Yes. It is the promised seal of your redemption. When you believe Jesus Christ, when you have believed him, the Holy Spirit lives in you. And he will be with you until the end of the age. That's the promise. Eternal salvation. Okay, we can talk about that at some other point. And you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth. Now, the 12 disciples, I always try to go through this, including Matthias, they didn't go to the end of the earth. They went to their little regions, right? And Peter talked to the diaspora, and James talked to the diaspora, those people who were dispersed. Who else gets to go to, like, America? Who's in Yankton, South Dakota? Any of the disciples? Yep, raise your hand. Yep, that's you and me. I have given you, Jesus said, you will receive power. Go out with the authority that I've given you, and don't be afraid. What we should be afraid of is not talking. What we should be afraid of is, Lord, I'm more afraid of them. Don't be afraid of them. Isaiah 43:1. Now watch this court case lay out just for a few more minutes and we'll be done. This is a court case, and I just talked about the court case and the higher court. All right? Isaiah 43 and 44. Watch this court case. Fear not, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by my name. You are mine. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you, and through the rivers, they shall not overwhelm you. When you walk through fire, you shall not be burned, and the flame shall not consume you. For I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. This is to Israel. and the church is grafted into Israel, okay? We are grafted in as Christ's bride. Now, this was for them and us. Isaiah 43:9, all the nations gather together, and the peoples assemble. Who among them can declare this? Okay, watch the court case. Okay, bring your lawyer, okay, bring your witnesses, and show us the former things. Let them bring their witnesses to prove them right. And let them hear and say, it is true, you are my witnesses, declares the Lord. You are my witnesses, declares the Lord, and I am God. Put me in remembrance. Let us argue together. Set forth your case, that you may be proved right. Fear not, nor be afraid. Have I not told you from of old and declared it? And you are my witnesses. Is there a God beside me? And their witnesses neither see nor know. This is wonderful. Of course, you know, the sentence has already been written down in books. The case has already been made. We just got to line up the witnesses. We just got to finish our walk in faithfulness before the Lord. When they heard this, they were enraged and wanted to kill them. But a Pharisee in the council called Gamaliel, a teacher of the law, held in honor by all the people, stood up and gave orders to put the men outside for a little while. And he said to them, men of Israel, take care of what you are about to do to these men. Now, we didn't read this morning. This is at the end of Acts chapter 5. And here's a smart man. Here's a smart man. He's part of the council. He remembers what had happened before. He had seen God's hand before. And so he warns these Sadducees and the Pharisees and this council, folks, be careful, because there's a higher court. You remember this man who went out and led a rebellion, and he was against the law, and how he was taken out? Gamaliel was there. And remember this person who kind of did the same thing, and how God had taken him out? Remember that? He's saying, if this is of God, you can't stop it. That's what he is saying. Folks, the gates of hell cannot prevail against the church. That doesn't mean that you and I may not go to prison. That doesn't mean that we may not get hurt. It doesn't mean that we may not face some things we would rather not face. In Sunday school this morning, Gary was going through Isaiah 29. He was talking about some of the history of Israel as well. And he talked about David, who came and took the city of Jebus. Jebus was the city of the Jebusites, who were really, really, really bad guys. And they taunted David. You can't get up here. You can't. You guys are blind. You guys are blinder than blind. Isn't that what he said? Blinder than blind. And yet, he overthrew that little city by the wisdom that God had given him. And it says, he became more and more powerful because the Lord was with him. Now, I like what Gary said right after that. He said, it may not happen right away. I wish he was wrong. Boy, I sure would like to see this power all the time. Can we have an angel show up on the doorsteps of the Supreme Court Monday morning? Because they're going to need it. And who else? Who knows what else the people are going to need? The church is under heavy persecution worldwide, and it is coming even more so into the United States. And we're going to see it. We're already seeing it. So, the thing to remember is who the defendant is. When you think about the gates of hell, they are trying to defend hell and bring people down with them. Satan knows, you know, in Revelation it says, Satan knows his days are near. He knows he's bound for destruction. But he's going to take as many down as he can, because that's his nature. He is defeated, and Christ defeated him on the cross and when he raised from the dead. And that power is with us and in us as a body. I hope you're encouraged. I hope you know that the Lord looks you in the face from heaven and says, I love that man. I love that woman. That is my child. To them he gave them power to become children of God. Wow. That is phenomenal. And so we're eternal beings. It is over. We just have to maintain it with us. Don't be afraid to observe, to talk, to be courageous, to stand up against, and if need be, fight against. Do not be afraid, because the Lord is with you and in you and upon you, and one day we'll be with him in the eternal kingdom.
Amen.
That's great. Lord, we love you. We praise you. Sometimes we don't know how to love you or praise you enough or in the right way. Sometimes our fear gets the best of us, like the prophet Elijah. Sometimes we run to the wilderness because we're afraid of some false lady, some false prophet. Yes. Lord, please help us to remember that we're not on the defense. We're on the offense. We're not arrogant. We don't carry swords in our sheaths, but we carry a sword. We carry your word. By your spirit, we wield it. I worship you, and we all worship you in spirit and in truth. Go with each one as we go, in Jesus' name. Can we just sing the doxology? Everybody stand up. Praise God from whom all blessings flow.
I decided to readjust the camera a bit from, you know, focusing on the pulpit to focusing on...
Remember something. You have another one of these. You can put those legs together and stick them right in it, and you can put it up higher. Extend it.
That could work.
Whoa, yep. Miss Berkeley.
Yeah, but anyway.
And you have the shorter one.
Doesn't want to be a part of the team anymore. So it's just a little bit. Just keep moving forward. Thank you so much. We will probably, as you move forward, do more songs with some of the newer ones in this video and to keep some of the other people say they like that. So we'll be bringing that. We're all new.
I was more worried about
this. A work in progress. Always. You have a good boy. Week, there. Okay.
Have a good week. Have fun with your sister.
Always nice to see you, sir.
I forgot.
No, everything's digging. Well, everything in the service anyway.
I
If I had one, it'd be a 90,000, and it would come on to what you needed. If it needed more, it would ramp up after that. But these are just, and then when they get so hot, they shut down. It doesn't cool. It doesn't heater.